Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For doing this. I'm very, very excited.
Me too.
We're going to start off with just a couple of background questions to kind of get it flowing and so I get a better understanding. Uh-huh. What was the date and place of your birth?
The date was 26th of February 1976. And the place is a city called Calcutta on the eastern coast of India.
And that is K-A-L?
Oh, I can... Do you want me to write that down?
Spell it out so it's on the tape.
Oh, okay, okay. Yes, it's taping. K-O-L-K-A-T-A.
Okay. And your name is Sanjukta Chudhuri.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. How do you designate your race?
My race, okay. Definitely South Asian from the Indian subcontinent.
Okay, and does that include your ancestry and ethnicity?
Yes. That's an interesting question because my ancestors are basically from Bangladesh, but after the partition of India, my grandparents moved to India, which is basically Calcutta. And so they were actually so-called refugees, but they kind of managed to get their foothold very quickly, and so it's basically now our home.
Good. Yeah. Good. How many male and or female siblings do you have?
I have one elder sister and a younger brother.
Small family.
Yes.
you've explained your birth order there. You're in the middle.
I'm in the middle, yes.
Yes. What is the name and occupation of your parent, or your partner, or spouse, if you have one?
Okay. Well, he's not my spouse, but almost like spouse. So he's very familiar to everyone here. His name is Jeremy Hine. He's a professor of sociology. And, so that's his occupation.
So just out of curiosity, did you meet him while you were here?
I did, yes. I was so fortunate.
Yes,
and
yes.
We have been together for about a year and 3 months. Right. And I can't say we are dating because it goes much, much, much beyond that. So it's more like we are spiritual partners or something like that.
All right. I think Eau Claire isn't the easiest place to be a single person, so it's... It's
yes,
very nice.
It's very nice, exactly.
And you don't have any children?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that means you don't have any grandchildren either. Where did you attend school, and what degrees have you earned? And actually, you don't need to answer that because I have that information in your vita. We're going to talk about it a little more later.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything about your general background that you think is important for me to know?
General background. Well, in the context of somebody who lives and works in the United States, I think one of the important things is to know is that I'm a first-generation immigrant, and I'm the only person from my family for God knows how many, if you go back how many centuries, to have actually migrated outside India, and I'm the only person in my immediate family and amongst my relatives to have established her work and career in another country.
Wow.
So that's I think that's something significant.
I think that's pretty significant too. Okay, we're going to move on to stories from childhood and adolescence. Describe your relationship with your parents and siblings when you were growing up.
I had a very privileged childhood, not just because, I don't mean privilege in terms of material things that my parents gave me, and of course they could afford to give me a very nice childhood, but I was very fortunate because I have always had a wonderful, close relationship with both my parents and my siblings. Even today, I have been out of the country for God knows how many years, about 7 years. And I don't go back home very often, but I can say for sure if in the next half a minute my entire family lands up here, it would be like we were always together. So it's a really, really wonderful relationship, and I feel really blessed to have them as my family members.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Tell me about the community and neighborhood where you grew up.
I grew up in a kind of middle-class neighborhood in Calcutta. And the reason it was a middle-class neighborhood was because my dad was at that time saving money because he wanted to build his own house. And so for the first 18 years of my life, I was living in a very small apartment. And, you know, there were five of us, a nuclear family, and we were very close. And so we never had any trouble as far as space was concerned, even though space was a huge constraint. But we went through those years because my dad wanted to build a house of his own sometime. And eventually he did build a very big house in a new neighborhood of, you know, kind of suburbia, Calcutta. And we moved there when I was 18 years old. And that's where my parents live today. And so in terms of my childhood, I lived in a very small apartment. That's what I can remember. But we had plenty of neighbors around us, so it was kind of fun growing up. And we had playmates and a lot of activities, that kind of thing. And today, the house that my parents live in today is in a much more upscale neighborhood. But the houses are very spaced apart, and so there's not much connection between neighbors. So,
is your original home still there?
It is very much still there, and somebody else took it over and kind of renovated it. And we haven't visited there for many years, but I miss my childhood place, actually, even though it wasn't upscale or anything. It was rather middle-class place, but it was a fun place to go to. There was a kind of a community feeling there, which we lost after we moved to the nicer house.
Describe how your family was or was not connected to the community and neighborhood.
Well, you know, it's like, that's a good question. In Calcutta, you cannot be separate from your community because we actually have community prayers and festivals and that kind of thing. Especially if you're a Hindu. So I'm a Hindu, and so we have Hindu festivals all year round. And there are at least 13 important festivals which are celebrated by the community. So this is how it works. So you pay a little bit contribution, whatever you can afford. And then whoever is, there's usually a club or something which is in charge of kind of arranging for the festivities and the food and everything. And so you can't help but be part of, an integral part of that community. Otherwise, you miss the celebrations and the festivities and such things. So my parents were very much part of the community. And my dad used to do a lot of, you know, like organizing part of the organizing committee or something like that, in charge of collecting the funds and raising funds and that kind of thing. So, yeah, they were very involved.
Who had power and privilege in your community, and how did that affect you and your family?
In the community, I guess I have to say mostly the men had the power and privilege. But in the eastern part of India, the power relationships are such that the men have the powers in the public sphere, but when it comes to the household sphere, it's really the women who are more powerful. So I would say household, you know, relations-wise, it's more of a matriarchal society, but it does not translate into power in the public sphere for women. And so in the public sphere, I would have to say in the community, the men were more powerful. But a lot of times the women were making decisions or influencing them in the background. But I still can't say that the women are very powerful because they, at that time at least, they did not participate in the labor force in a big way, and they did not earn wages in a big way, and they were very dependent on their husbands and actually still are today. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because in the household sphere, the women seem to be more powerful, but it doesn't translate into financial independence.
What values did you learn from your family and other people and institutions in your community?
From my family, one of the principles that I learned, which has changed very recently actually, was my parents nurtured all their offsprings, so that includes me, that everything is about merit. And so I grew up in a very meritocracy kind of an environment. So they always taught me that hard work is most important and nothing goes above that. And so I have to say my parents always, and I'm very grateful to them today for pushing me so hard. They were pushers. They pushed me, especially me, because I turned out to be the most ambitious of the three kids, and so they had a lot of hopes pinned on me. So they pushed me in every direction, in academia, to succeed in the classroom, in music. I used to learn Indian classical music, in dance. I used to learn Indian classical dance, and they always wanted me to perform and win awards and prizes and, you know, kind of accolades and that kind of thing. And so I grew up, my single most important value was hard work and survival and progress. So I'm not sure whether I should sum it up in one word called meritocracy, but looking back to those times, that's what comes to my mind, mm-hmm. first and foremost.
Yeah, what do you mean by survival?
Okay, survival, because when you grew up in an urban locality in a developing nation, I don't know how much you know about that, but developing nations are over-urbanized, and so most people want to move to the urban locations, and so cities tend to be overpopulated and underserved. So in terms of jobs, education, everything is over-demanded and undersupplied. And so whether it's getting admission into a good college, a good MBA institution, a good school for your kids, or a well-paid job, it's always a fight to the last. So it's a little different in a developed nation where there are more opportunities available. And so we had to fight for every single thing. And so that's basically the survival instinct which my parents planted in me, which I have not lost. I don't think I'll ever lose it. Mm-hmm. So those were the most important things. And you might find it surprising because India is otherwise a very traditional country. But my parents nurtured us in a different way. They said that traditions come second. What is most important is that when you, especially the girls, when you go out into the big bad world, I don't want you to feel that you are dependent on someone financially. And that value has stuck to me till today. I cannot think beyond my financial independence as being the most important thing in my life. Whether it's for me or hopefully for my children in future, I should be the pillar of that, of their support. Mm. And so, yeah, that's basically what I meant by survival.
That's very interesting because it isn't cultural to want you to be completely independent as a woman.
Right, exactly.
Does your sister work?
She does. She is a school teacher. So I'm a college professor. She's a school teacher.
And your brother?
And my brother is, he did an MBA in finance. He did the India's equivalent of CPA. What do you call CPA in America? And since last year, he has been working for an American firm who has a kind of an office in India. Mm-hmm. And my brother is very successful because I'm 34. He's only 25. So at a very young age, he was also instilled with those values such as I was. So we all three of us, I have to say, have been reasonably successful career-wise.
What did your parents do, or do they do?
My mother is a housewife. She has always been a housewife, but she was a pusher. She was the biggest pusher in the family. So she didn't want us to suffer for the things that she wasn't allowed to do as a woman. Her parents pushed her to be a wife and nothing else. But somehow she had that, you know, like that unquenched desire for success, which she never could get, and she wanted to live that life through her children. And that kind of worked out pretty well for her, I suppose. My dad was a government employee, but at the age of 40, he left his employment because he was tired of taking orders, and he started his own business. So he was an entrepreneur since the age 40. Today he's quite old, he's around 75, so he retired a few years back. But he was also very enterprising and worked very hard throughout his life to save money and kind of give us a good life.
Do you want to elaborate on what you learned from each parent?
From my mother, I learned to be ambitious and a feminist, to stand up for my rights and take my responsibilities seriously. Although I have to say, my mother taught me the rights more than the feminist responsibilities, because let me elaborate on that. She was more specific that I learn my rights as a woman and stand up to pressures on me to be traditional. And the part I missed out in the process was that women also, as member of a family, I also have responsibilities in day-to-day things, like, to take very simple example, maybe very silly, like cooking, to take an example. My mother always discouraged me from learning how to cook. She said, I don't want you to be a cook. I want you to be a successful, whatever, a lawyer, a doctor, or a professor, whatever you want to be. So I feel that she over-instilled me with the career aspect. And I'm not complaining. She felt that it would be very easy later on for me to pick up things like cooking and nurturing and things we usually traditionally associate with women. But I guess it's not that easy to kind of, once you get too much into a career, you become more like a man. Some point in life you realized maybe you could have used a little more nurturing in the traditions also. But I'm not complaining. I think she did a great job. So that's basically what I got the most from my mother. Although my mother herself might be surprised when she hears that. But from my dad, I got similar values. My dad was a rather protective person and was very careful that, especially when I was a teenager, that I focused more on my math and calculus than dating and that kind of thing. So I think he gave me a discipline which I will never forget. And again, he might have overdone that part, and so I never got the fun part of being a teenager. But I don't regret that, because today I really feel that I'm able to focus on my work and I will be able to deliver those disciplines to my children someday. And so I think I learned a lot of discipline habits from my dad.
And would you let your children have more fun than you got?
I would have to if they grow up in U.S. because here it's different, you know, when I see. And I really like the way teenagers are allowed to at least get some amount of that teenage life, which I have to say I completely missed out on, completely, okay? I did not start dating till I was 22. So, and that was my earliest time I dated. That too because I went to business school and I was out of the house. I went to another city basically to get my MBA. So that was my first taste of real freedom. But I don't regret any of that, because I just feel I have learned a lot of restraint and kind of how to lead a Spartan life and be very focused on my work.
So here's the big one. What role did education play in your life?
Yeah, I am very grateful for the education. My earliest memory of education and how it helps me today is when my dad insisted that I go to an English medium school, which was a kind of rather expensive private school. And it was run by a French missionary. It was a Protestant school. And it was a legacy of the British colonial kind of thing. But my dad insisted that I go to that school because he had a feeling that learning English was most important for my future. And he was so correct. I mean, I cannot believe it. I did not realize how important that English education was for me till I landed up in the United States. And I felt so privileged that I was a greenhorn immigrant on the one hand, and yet I had absolutely no problem from day one in communicating. And when I saw my friends who were immigrants from other countries and how much they struggled with their English, I really thanked God that my dad had the foresight to insist that I go to an English medium school.
How old were you?
I was 4.
Wow.
So it was like growing up in either London or New York, because my first language was English. So I grew up learning nursery rhymes, Snow White and Cinderella, and what was that other one? The Humpty Dumpty,
yes.
And Jack and Jill went up a hill, and that kind of thing. So you'll be surprised that somebody in so traditional countries such as India could have received a very, very English education, but it is possible in urban India to do that. And it was a very small school, very, very small school in the heart of the city. It was a Protestant school, but majority of the students were Hindus. But we used to go to churches just for the fun of it, you know, kind of get a multicultural. In India, going to a church is multicultural experience. So here it would be the opposite. So here, going to a Hindu temple would be multicultural experience for students. So when I came here, I had absolutely no trouble adjusting to the fact that I was in a majority Christian country, because I was familiar with Christmas carols, and that I did not get a shock when I saw a church or a chapel. I was familiar with those things. Mm-hmm. And also, I think I got more education than a lot of other girls I know in India. A lot more education. In India, most girls would stop at graduate level without a major or a minor, if at all. And they would drop out and get married and have children and nurture children. So at age 34, their children would be around 10 years old or something. And here I am, who has been able to go through an MBA course, an entire PhD program. And I think my education gives me a lot of power everywhere. And I'm able to surprise people when I announce that I'm a college professor in economics with a PhD under my belt, and I just feel more powerful everywhere. So I think my education has given me that social status which I would not have got otherwise. Even here, when I go back to India, people just stare at me thinking, what is she, you know, like some kind of goddess or something with so much education and with all the work that she's doing. And yeah, I think education is very important.
I know that in India, only about the illiteracy rate for women is about 65%.
Yes, even today.
So having this much education is pretty extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, I have to say.
Do you know if it's mostly rural illiteracy, or do you think it's pretty equal?
It's mostly rural illiteracy. In rural India, the illiteracy rate is close to 70%. In urban India, it's close to 35%. So if you take the country average, it will land up, like you said, around 60%. So, yeah, but even in urban India, I know my cousins, my female cousins and all, they are like my mother. They are dependent. Maybe they have done an MA or something in English literature or some philosophy or psychology, but they have not put that good education to use because they did not get the opportunity, and they were not pushed by their parents, basically, like my parents did. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I really feel privileged that I was able to achieve all these. And I'm the only PhD holder, by the way, in my